All right. Well, today we come to a new series. Last week we finished up our last series where we went through the minor prophets, and now we start a new series called How to Have a Relationship with God. And as the pastors have thought through this next series, we wanted to come up with a title that's kind of catchy, kind of clickbaity in a sense, but really, the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to be going through the book of Deuteronomy. And it's a really interesting book because it really does talk about how the people of God are supposed to have a relationship with God. So the book of Deuteronomy, some of you guys may know, and some of you may not know, that it's the last five books of the beginning part of the Old Testament. It's part of the first five books of the whole Bible, and it's the last one that appears in those five books. And these five books were written by Moses, and the book of Deuteronomy is written to be similar to ancient treaties where two kingdoms perhaps or two nations would come together and they would make a pact, they would make a treaty to describe what their relationship is about. And so the book of Deuteronomy is written in a format where it's talking about the relationship between God and his people. And so, again, we're going to be going through the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to be talking about how to have a relationship with God. Now, today's sermon is called The Lord Who Goes Before You, and we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 to 33. And so why don't we open up our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 to 33. It's towards the beginning of the whole Bible, and so if you see Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, just keep going until you find Deuteronomy. If you find Joshua or Judges or Ruth, you've gone a little bit too far, and you need to come back a little bit. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Starting from verse 29, and we'll read to verse 33. This is the reading of God's word. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night and in the cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go. Amen. Well, we're really thankful and glad for the fact that the government has been doing pretty well in allowing us to be able to have larger gatherings in person. But just by the fact that we're sitting where the fish are, and our pews here, for those of you that are online, you guys might not be able to see, but our pews have little fish stickers so that it helps us do social distancing from one another. Just by the fact that we have fish and we have to sit where the fish are, just explains to us that we're still in this time of the pandemic. And I want to ask you this morning that as these days are uncertain days, how do you generally feel about how things are going in this world? So think about that for a moment. And as you think about how you've been feeling, maybe you could describe and think about how you were feeling under level 3 alert. We're still under level 2 now. As you think about that, take a moment now to turn to your neighbor and share maybe the first word or maybe a sentence about how you generally feel about how things are going on in this world. So let's do that real quick. Those of you that are online, you could share in the live chat. I said one word or one sentence and people are going on in paragraphs. All right, so I'll give you guys one more minute. One more minute. All right, well, some of you guys may have heard things like feeling a little bit anxious. Maybe some people said they're unsure about what's going to happen next, about the future. Maybe some people talked about how they just want things to go back to normal and they wish they could go back to their home countries and visit, or they wish that we could just gather in person without having to wear masks anymore, without having to wear masks so that we could exercise freely outdoors or go to the gym or go swimming again. You may have heard a lot of these things, and you know, my own answer is, for a while I felt that I just want things to go back to whatever normal is. I want things to go back to normal so that we could do church like normal. And we don't have to have half people in person and half people online. Because frankly, I think meeting in person is so much better than meeting online. And there are days that I felt, and I just want to share openly with you guys, there are days that I felt very anxious. And it's for various reasons, but I felt very anxious where it would even affect me physically, where my heart would be pounding, and there would be times that I might not be able to sleep well at night because of that. Well, through today's word, what the Lord is calling us to do is for us to not be afraid. And that's the main idea for today. Don't fear what's ahead, but live each day with confidence through Jesus. Don't fear what's ahead, but live each day with confidence through Jesus. And the three points that we're going to be going through today are reason to be confident, reason to fear, and reason to trust. All right, so once again, the main idea that we're going to be talking about today is don't fear what's ahead, but live each day with confidence through Jesus. And the three points are reason to be confident, reason to fear, and reason to trust. So why don't we begin? The first point that we'll be going over today is reason to be confident. Again, the main idea being don't fear, but live each day with confidence. There is a reason to be confident. What are these reasons? Here are the reasons. You can be confident each day because, number one, God commands it. Let's talk about that first. God commands us not to be afraid. In Deuteronomy, in our passage today, it starts off with, "Then I said to you," and this is actually Moses speaking to the people, but this is God's word that's speaking to us today. It says, "Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them." Again, this is the commandment that Moses gave to the Israelites as they were about to enter the promised land, and they were thinking about all the dangers that existed in the promised land. They heard about these mighty people in the promised land, and so they were afraid. And so that's why it says, do not be in dread or afraid of them. And this is a situation where Moses is commanding the Israelites to not be afraid, but to trust in God who is great and powerful. He's wanting to remind the people that God is a powerful and great God, and there is no threat that is too great. And so the series is called How to Have a Relationship with God. And so a relationship with God means that we would realize that our God is a great and powerful God. And so that's why we should obey Him when He gives this command. We should obey Him. Now, the second thing, the reason to be confident, is that God will fight for you. In the very next verse, it says, the Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Okay, now we have to think about what this is saying. It's not just the idea that God will fight for you, but the idea is, because he mentions, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, the idea is that you can be confident each day, not worrying about what's ahead, because the Lord your God says that he will fight for you just as he did in the past. The confidence that we can get comes from the idea that we know that God has worked in a powerful way in the past, and God is the same God today. And God can work powerfully even today. And so, as we think about what God has done in the past, we can know and believe and trust that he is able to fight for you no matter what lies ahead. He is the powerful God that is watching over you, and there is no reason to fear. And so, with this second point, a relationship with God means remembering that the powerful God has worked in your life in the past and is able to do so again today. The third reason to be confident is that he will care for you. He will care for you. The very next verse says, and in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. And this place, he's talking about Horeb. Not Horeb like horrible, but H-O-R-E-B, Horeb. And it's a place where they were waiting before they were going to go into the promised land. The third reason why we can be confident, not worrying about what's ahead, but that we could live this day confidently, is because God says that he carries you like a man carries his son. Just imagine that picture of a father carrying and very proud to carry their son. And if you can think about how maybe the son is learning to walk, and then so the dad is holding the son's hand and walking with the son, but then at some point the son becomes tired and is not able to keep walking. And so because there's this need, there's this lack of strength, the father picks up the son and carries the son. In other words, the father is able to provide what the son needs. When the son doesn't have any strength, the father is the one that has the strength to pick up the son and to continue to carry the son, to be able to continue to move forward, to keep moving forward. What it's talking about is that God is the one who's able to comfort us. God is the one that is able to provide for us. God is the one that's able to provide every need that we have. And so we're able to be confident. Again, a relationship with God means trusting that God will provide for your every need. Now, we have all these wonderful truths. We don't have to fear. We can be confident. There is a reason to be confident. Because God commands it. The Almighty God commands it. Because we know that he will fight for us just as he's done in the past. And because God carries us and is able to provide for us and give us exactly what we need each day. However, even with all these wonderful truths, and even as I'm telling you, the main idea for today is don't be afraid because of these reasons. I'm sure it's the case for you, just that it is the case for me, that it's really easy to forget and fear and think of all the what ifs. What if this happens or what if that happens? And to become anxious. It's kind of like how when I take my children to the amusement park, especially when they were younger, and I tell them, you know, don't be afraid. And, you know, it's like those times when you take a child to one of these rides that they've never ridden on. And do you guys know the ride? I don't know what it's called in English. There's no one name for it, but some people call it the Viking boat. Or in Chinese, in Mandarin, it's called Hai Dao Chuan. Maybe you guys know about it. And it's this boat that goes back and forth like this, and it's kind of scary. And I would take my kids to the mini version at the kids amusement park here in Taipei, Artong Xinleyuan. And there's a mini version that it's nothing. But my children, especially when they were little, I would say, go on, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Trust me, it's going to be okay. But then they're standing there in line and you see them kind of like doing like the pee-pee dance and their heart's pounding. And no matter how much I tell them, don't be afraid, it's okay, they're still afraid. And perhaps that's what we go through. No matter how much we're commanded to not be afraid and remember who God is, we're still feeling that fear and that anxiousness. And the question is, why do we forget? Why do we still fear? What is the reason that we say to fear? Why do we fear? And that's where we come to our second point. Before talking about why do we fear, I want to give a little bit of background about our passage today. We've already gone through parts of the passage, but I want to give a little bit of the background. So Moses and the Israelites have been wandering around the wilderness for about 40 years already. And they've come back to this place called Horeb, where they were before about 40 years earlier. And the people have come to this place and they're about to enter the promised land. And Deuteronomy is this whole speech by Moses wanting to encourage the people and reminding the people of what it is to have a relationship with God before they go into the promised land. And so when you think about Deuteronomy, it's kind of like one big sermon to the people, encouraging them and reminding them about who God is and about their relationship with God. So they're about to go in, but before Moses talks about all the laws and all these things, he gives a brief history of what happened between God and the people. And that's where Deuteronomy 1 and for the next few chapters, it talks about that history. And Moses reminds the people that, remember, you guys were in this place, and actually it wasn't these people, it was their parents. And all of their parents died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. But Moses was talking to the parents many, many years ago. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy 1:8. It says, "See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give to them and to their offspring after them." 40 years earlier, there was this message that was given to the people of Israel. Go into this land that the Lord has given to you. Take possession of it. This is the promised land. So God gave this command to the people. But what ended up happening is that they sent some spies into the land to scope out what was happening. And what they found was that there were these enemies there, the Amorites, who seemed to be really scary. They were greater and taller. They had these cities that were all built up. They were fortified. And it seemed like just a very difficult thing to go into and to fight and to claim the land. It seemed like a difficult thing to do. Not only that, they mentioned these people, the Anakim. And there's this verse from Numbers 13. Where it describes who the Anakim were. It says this in Numbers 13, verse 33. And I don't have it on the screen, so just go ahead and listen. "And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them. It mentions the Nephilim, and it says these Anakim descended from the Nephilim. And the Nephilim, if you read about them in other parts of Genesis, they were legendary people. And Genesis 6 specifically describes them as mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Okay, and so what's going on is that they sent their spies, and the spies came back and they reported what was in the land. They said, yes, it is the promised land. It is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It is a great piece of land, but there are these enemies that are there. And they're scary. They're mighty. And we're afraid. And not all the spies thought, you know, the same way, but when the people heard this report, they were afraid. And so that's where we come to verse 28 from today's passage. We started today's passage in verse 29, but I want to point to verse 28 because this verse describes what the people were thinking. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. And so they were afraid. The people, what they did was, basically, they feared the people more than they feared God. They feared the people more than they feared God, and so they did not listen to what God commanded. Right? Reason to fear. They feared other people. They feared the circumstances more than they feared God, and so they decided not to follow God's command. Not only that, because they did not remember how God was powerful among them in the past when they came out of Egypt and saw God's great power. They saw God's great power. They even saw the Red Sea part. They saw God's great power. They saw all these things, and yet they still didn't remember when they came to the foot of the promised land. They were about to go in and they heard these reports. They didn't remember God's power among them. And they only saw how powerful the cities and the people were, even the cities and the fortified cities that were up to heaven. And they thought, oh my goodness, these people are powerful. These cities are powerful. And they forgot about God's power. They forgot that the powerful God is able to fight for them. Not only that, they feared because they saw the sons of Anakim. And they said, wow, these sons of Anakim, these legendary people that descended from the Nephilim, these people are there in this land. And what the people forgot was that they were the sons of God. And they feared the sons of Anakim. They forgot their identity, who they were. They forgot that they had a heavenly Father that's able to carry them. And they only feared the sons of Anakim. And so because they heard this report, they saw what was ahead of them, they thought about all the what ifs. They feared the people, and they didn't fear God. They didn't keep his command. They feared the people. They feared what was up ahead. And they forgot about how God fought for them in the past and how God worked mightily for them in the past. And they feared the sons of Anakim, and they forgot that they themselves were God's people, that God was their father, that they were the sons of God. They forgot all these things. And what ended up happening? Because they heard this report, they forgot all about God, and they were keeping their eyes on this thing that was causing them fear, and they're only thinking about that thing over and over and over again. What ended up happening is they lost confidence. No longer are we able to be confident because we forget about who our God is. What about us today? That's what happened with the people back then. But what about us today? Maybe some of you guys, maybe today, maybe sometime recently, have had all these thoughts about something that's up ahead that's causing you to fear. You think about all the what ifs. Let me read some of these off, and maybe you guys will be able to identify, or maybe you don't identify with any of these, but maybe you have your own story. Let me read some of these. We fear whether or not we're able to find the right job. We fear whether or not we're able to find the right spouse. We fear whether or not our children will turn out well. We fear whether or not we'll have enough money for retirement or even for the next month. We fear whether or not we'll be healed from the sickness that we're experiencing. What if I get COVID? What if the government makes a bad decision? What if my kids don't get good grades? What if I choose the wrong person to get married with? What if my friends or family don't approve of my fiance? What if I turn out to be a bad parent? What if we're not able to have children? What if my business fails? What if I don't have enough in my savings? What if people don't accept me? What if my wife doesn't accept me? What if my husband doesn't love me? What if people look down on me? What about my reputation? Who will save my face? Who will defend me? Who will support me? Who will help me? Perhaps some of you, I might even dare to say all of you, have asked a question similar to this. And perhaps today you're even asking a similar type of question. And perhaps you fear today, perhaps you're feeling anxious about what's coming up. And you fear that more than you fear God. And you choose not to obey God's commands. You choose to fear and be afraid, and not just about this command, but then you choose not to obey other commands, to be joyful always and to pray continually and to give thanks in all circumstances, to seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, to keep the Sabbath, to make sure that you're remembering the Lord and you're taking this time to remember the Lord. And there are many other commands, but perhaps we fear, we forget about God and how powerful He is, and we end up not obeying His command. In other words, perhaps you're willing to go against God and go with your own decision based on what you fear. Or maybe I should say and. Perhaps you fear because you don't remember how God was powerful in your life in the past, and you only see the difficulty that's up ahead. You only see what's up ahead and you feel like, oh my goodness, how am I going to deal with this circumstance? Or what if this or that happens? And you forget everything in that moment. You forget how God has worked in your life. You forget how God has saved you. You forget how God has brought you His love. You forget how God has worked in your life to perhaps heal you. Whatever you've experienced in your past, how God has been working in your life. Even something that may have happened even last week, how God has spoken to you through the sermon or through another brother or sister in Christ, through their love, how God has blessed you, how God has provided for you faithfully through your life, how God has shown that He is with you. Because we only fix our eyes on what's ahead, we forget about God who has worked powerfully in our lives in the past. And we forget about how God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, in that moment of feeling anxious, you don't think what God did in the past was that great. Or you've forgotten how great it was that God worked in your life. So that what's up ahead seems like it's too much to handle. God's not even a factor in your decision making at this point. And perhaps for us, you fear because you do not remember that you are a son of God, that you are a child of God. And you think about all the what ifs in your life, and you feel like those things are so much greater. You forget that you are a child of God, and you act as if you are an orphan, that you don't have a heavenly father. The reason, perhaps, that you give in to fear actually becomes the very reason that you reject God. Because of how we forget our Lord, we find no confidence in our daily living. Perhaps you feel very anxious, or maybe you feel confident about yourself and how you're able to fix the problems that are up ahead. But through it all, you reject the Lord in the process. You reject His commands and His authority. You reject His power and His present work. You reject His fatherly care and love. You reject His love. And it says in verse 32 of today's passage, yet in spite of what God has told you about Himself, what God has shown you, what God has displayed to you over and over in your life, despite the promises that God has given to you, yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God. You have rejected it. You have rejected God. And the ultimate punishment, the ultimate consequence of rejecting God is to be rejected by God. When you reject God, the ultimate consequence is to be rejected by God. And when a person comes to realize this, this is cause to be fearful. I stand before you guys today not saying that because I'm telling you guys these things that I'm perfect and that I live without fear and I'm confident every day. That's not me. I fall into this temptation. I forget. I fear. I've had sleepless nights. My heart pounds. I feel anxious. I think about all the what ifs. I have times like that in my life. And when those times come, I decide a lot of times to think and act according to my old ways, according to my fleshly ways. And I have to acknowledge before all of you guys that oftentimes I do reject God's love. Not because I'm purposely saying it with my words. Not because I'm perfect. Not because I'm purposely saying it in my heart and in my mind. But in my action, in that moment when the temptation comes, I fall into it. But through my action, it's displaying my proclamation that I am rejecting God and His love for me. So how do I move from this fear and this anxiousness back into confidence to live a day, each day, with confidence? Well, the answer is Jesus Christ. And this is where we come to our third point. Again, I just want to remind you, the main idea is don't fear what's ahead, but live each day with confidence through Jesus. And the third point is that there is a reason to trust. There is a reason to trust, and the answer, of course, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is the God who goes before you. Jesus is the one who provides for your every need. He is the one that is powerful, more powerful than any challenge that you will face. God will be for you. He will be for you, even if you reject His love in moments here and there. Because when we fail to follow God, even though He commanded to follow Him, when we fail to follow God, God decided Himself to take the initiative, to take the first step to rescue us. The last verse in our passage today says this. It's talking about God who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night and in the cloud by day to show you by what way you should go. See, the wonderful thing is that even throughout the time of the wandering in the wilderness for the Israelites, and even in our lives today, God is there showing us the way, telling us the way to go. And what's amazing is one of the commentaries said, and this was pretty cool to see, is that perhaps here in this passage it mentions the fire by night first and then in the cloud by day second, because perhaps Moses was telling them this portion of the speech at nighttime and they actually saw the fire in front of them, and he's telling them, look, you see that fire? God has led us all the way. God has been with us and He's been leading the way all along. But even with God leading the way, the people were still resistant, not wanting to follow, not wanting to obey God's command. And isn't that the same for us today? Even though God reminds us over and over that He is a great and powerful God and He shows Himself to us over and over again, but there are these moments in our lives that we still are fearful and anxious, and we're the ones staying put, saying, I don't know if I'm able to face that thing in the future. I don't have any confidence for it. Recently, I got a dog, and it reminded me of this idea, because I take my little dog out, still a puppy, and I say, come here, boy. And I'm expecting the dog, I'm giving a command to the dog, right? Come here, boy. But then there are times that my dog sees something ahead and just sits down and does not move. And I'm like, come here, boy. It's okay. It's just another person. Come here, boy. It's okay. But my dog just sits there and would not move. We're like the dog. unwilling to move, afraid of what's ahead, because we're afraid, because we've forgotten about our Lord. But our Lord, who went before you, is also the God that came among us. If I were to bring that dog analogy back up again, is that there are times that my dog, when I'm walking my dog, I took my dog a little bit too far and he gets tired. Maybe it's because he's afraid that he stops, or maybe because he's too tired that he stops. And so what I do is that I'm up front telling my dog to come, and he just won't come. So what I do is I go back to the dog and I pick up my dog. In a similar way, our God does not just stand up ahead. It's not just the God that goes before you and says, come on, I told you to come with me. But what he does is that he humbles himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and came among his people and made his dwelling among us in order to pick us up. Jesus took the initiative to come among us. This is what it says. For some reason, the internet's not working right now. Can you go to the next slide for me? And the Word became flesh. This is from John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only did Jesus come among us and become a human being, but he also was willing to take the punishment for us. When we rejected God, the consequence was supposed to be that we would be rejected by God. But Jesus Christ, he died on the cross and received that punishment on our behalf. And on the cross, Jesus was forsaken by the Father. And because Jesus Christ did become the sacrifice on our behalf, we became pure. Jesus Christ's righteousness was given to us. And Jesus made a way so that we are able to have a relationship with him. But not only that, Jesus continues to encourage us. It's not just that Jesus saves us and gives us a pure heart and then says to us, now you need to obey my commands. Now you need to prove yourself faithful. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus continues to encourage us not to fear. He stays with us. He gives us encouragement to follow him by giving us the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So if we could go to the next verse, it says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. No longer is God far off. Not only is God ahead of us, leading us, but our God is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And the next verse, in John chapter 14, verses 25 to 27, it says, these things I have spoken to you. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And the next verse says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. And I want us to look at this last part, and I want us to keep it on this verse without going to the next slide. It says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Once again, not only is the God the one who goes before you to show you the way, but when we're afraid and we're not able to follow through and obey his command, what God does, what he did, was he took the initiative to come in our midst. He came to the world. Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins. And he made a way for us to have a relationship with him. And he gives us the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit continues to work in our lives to encourage us to follow the Lord, so that we can have peace, so that we don't have to be afraid, so that we won't be troubled, so that we can live each day with confidence in the Lord through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we could go to the next slide. We can be confident each day because God commands it not to be afraid. And what Jesus did was that he did obey. He wasn't afraid. And he fulfilled what God had commanded him to do, what the Father commanded him to do. There was this idea that the Father, our God, will fight for us. And Jesus, before going to the cross, he trusted in this idea that the Father would continue to be with him and that he was fulfilling the Father's will. And so Jesus trusted the Father. Not only that, we have that promise that God will care for us. And Jesus kept in mind who he was, that he was the Son of God. And so because of these things, because Jesus fulfilled these things and kept these things in mind, he's able to do that for us in our lives. He's able to cause us to obey. He's able to cause us to work in our lives, to remember who God is, and to trust our Father, that our Father will continue to work in our lives. And he's able to work in our lives to remind us that we are children of God and give us confidence to live each day. So don't be afraid, brothers and sisters, those of us that put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, don't be afraid, don't be anxious. The Lord your God not only goes before you to show you the way, but also is with you to encourage you and remind you of who God is in your life. Just real quick, I want to go through just a couple application points. The next slide. One of the best ways to be reminded about these truths, okay, is through coming together as a church. Because the Holy Spirit works in you, and there are moments just where you're experiencing life where the Lord will remind you of his ways. But then God doesn't only work in these accidental ways. Not only does God work in these supernatural ways, I should say, but God works through these ordinary ways of reading God's word, of gathering together as a church, of praying together. God works in these ways too. And so surround yourself with other believers so that other believers can continue to remind you about who God is. And not only that, I'll say, come a little bit early to church or stay a little bit longer after church. Because while we're in service, we're not able to talk to each other. We're not able to encourage each other. But before and after, you are able to have conversations with other people, and they may be able to encourage you, to remind you of how God is working in your life. And secondly, make yourself available to be an encouragement for other people. Perhaps God will use you. Perhaps the Holy Spirit will even give you the words to speak to encourage another person. And so be available. If the Lord is putting on your heart or reminding you, maybe I should go and talk to that person. Maybe I should go and encourage that person. Have faith and take that step. And don't worry about trying to head home so quickly or trying to get your lunch so quickly. Be available to be an encouragement to another person. And I don't have these other ones on the screen, but you know, after you're done praying and saying, God, I trust you, after you're done praying and you say, amen, say to yourself, it's going to be okay because the Lord is with me. It's going to be okay. And take a deep breath. Maybe you need to take a couple more deep breaths. And try to sleep early. And stretching helps too. All right, so why don't we pray together?